Our gospel reading this morning is a troubling one, which is why we am talking this morning about the awkward Jesus. We'll talk about being awkward, but this gospel passage is one that I think disturbs us, and at the same time, it has to be reconciled. This from the Gospel of Luke. And Jesus says, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say it's going to rain. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the signs of the present time? The Gospel of the Lord. You've all seen the commercial with Rob Lowe advertising for DirecTV. And he stands up there and says, my name is Rob Lowe, and I have DirecTV. And then walking over to him is Rob Lowe and another character who says, I am painfully awkward, Rob Lowe, and I have cable. Awkward moments are very real. I think of some here in church where Susan and I, after the driveway was tarred for the first week, tripped every time we walked out the door because we were expecting another step. There always was a step, and now there isn't. Or when you go to handshake somebody and they want to hug you, or vice versa. Or when, I do this all the time, when you call somebody by the wrong name. Right, Dawn? I called her Dawn. Sometimes, as the cartoons suggest here at the beginning, I put those in there with that in mind. Have you ever been the first one that sings the first note of the song before the congregation jumps in? Or like the poor guy in the picture who was standing up in the front row and everybody else is sitting down, he's waiting for somebody to give him the signal. Those are awkward things, and they happen to everyone. Well, that's what we have in the gospel this morning. We have a very awkward Jesus. Because up to this point in the gospel, Jesus has been talking about being compassionate and being merciful and being peace-filled people and somehow reaching out and uniting the whole world together under God's loving embrace. He talks about forgiveness and being overly compassionate, in fact, so compassionate with your giving that it's an abundance that reflects God's own abundance. And then he comes up with this. How do we justify this? How does a Christian mind settle this? Bye, Parker. He'll be coming back. Remember how I say all the time, Jesus was a Jew, and so John the Baptist was a Jew, and all the disciples were Jews. None of them were Christians. They were Jews. With that in mind, when you read this text, what you're seeing here is the Jewishness of Jesus and the group coming through. Because one of the things the Jews have very much all the way through their whole history and all of their writings is a simple fact that we are all going to be judged. Judgment starts way back in the book of Genesis. You remember the story about Sodom and Gomorrah? Sodom and Gomorrah was being judged. And how do we know that? Because fire fell down from heaven. All the way through the prophets, fire comes down because the call of the prophet asks God to somehow make a judgment about who's the right prophet and who is the wrong prophet. And fire is what's instituted. Excuse me. John the Baptist says about Jesus, I baptize you with water. He's going to baptize you with fire. And Jesus himself says here, I have come not to bring peace, but to call fire upon the earth. That judgment, that need for somehow being accountable before God, is one of the foundation stones of Judeo-Christian thinking. Going on a little bit further, when Jesus says, households will be divided. Even in the history of Judaism, Judaism became very much an external kind of program, where unless you were part of the inner circle, you did not belong. It became an exclusive group. They survived as a nation because they hugged themselves together and they were able to have enough strength and political recognition that they could live as Jewish people according to their own law. We somehow become exclusive when we align ourselves with the Jewish God. Jesus says here, households will be divided one against another. The very thing that happened in Judaism, as some fell away and became parts of other religious beliefs because of the cultural situation they happened to be in all the way through their history. Christianity certainly has seen the very same thing. In Jesus' own time, all the Jews who now became Christians, they were all Jews. Remember, they were all Jews. And they have this whole history. God, the paper's getting stuck. Everybody was Jewish. And so when we read Jesus saying, household will be divided one against another, father against son, mother against daughter, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law, this is actually what happened in the very early church. There was that exclusivity about being Jewish and those who became not Jewish. Then there was the exclusivity of being Christian and then not being Christian. And households were divided because families did not always go the same way they always did. And then you come down to the end where Jesus says, you know, you can tell when it's going to rain because when you live on the Mediterranean, from the west, you see the clouds rising. Excuse me. And of course, you know it's going to rain. And when you see it coming from the south, which is from the desert, you know it's going to be hot. How foolish that you can read those signs and you cannot read the signs about the kingdom of God. Don't you see what's happening right in front of you? In his day, the gospel writers were doing two things. They were presenting a Jesus that was very different from the Old Testament God. Jesus, this good Jew, was taking Judaism to another level, to an inclusive level, to a level of love, compassion, and mercy, not judgment and punishment and damnation. That was a huge step for Jesus to be doing as a Jew. And so the gospel writers capture that very, very well. But they have to deal with this other side. And it's awkward to have somebody quote these words of Jesus as somehow a message from God. It's totally contradictory. But put it in context. Jesus, in the writer's mind, had to do this because if he was going to be recognized by Judaism, he had to sign himself as a Jew. And that's what he was doing. The Christians are the ones that had the problem. And so, my last thought. You know the story of the Transfiguration on the mountain? Jesus goes up on the mountain and he appears with Moses on one side and Elijah on the other side. The law and the prophets, the whole of Judaism is standing there beside him. And when it comes to the end of the scene, when he has been somehow illumined, he's the only one left, which is a Christian saying that all the things about Judaism have now been superseded. And Jesus himself says, I give you a new commandment. It's a repeat of Deuteronomy with a hook. You will love God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Those were not together in Deuteronomy. Jesus puts them together and makes that the keystone of Christianity. So what we have here, excuse me, in a little bit of a difficult saying, is Jesus stepping out and saying, we are doing something new. There is a new creation, and you are invited to be part of it. All of you are invited to be part of it. No one is ever excluded. He shuts the book on Judaism. Do you read the signs of the kingdom of God in the world today? Do you see any signs at all that we are getting to be a world of justice, of harmony, of compassion, of mercy, of forgiveness? The challenge is there for us to look and see if indeed what Jesus was proposing is true. And those of us who call ourselves members of the kingdom, Christian people, really are allowing God to work through us to bring it about. It's too hot for anything else. But with that, amen.